Please turn to the book of Psalms. We're going to be reading through Psalm 37 today. It reads, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plots against the just, and gnashes upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow, to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, into smoke they shall consume away. The wicked borrows and pays not again, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful, and lends, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil, and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loves judgment, and forsakes not his saints. They are preserved forever. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, what he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together, the end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him."
Let's exegete every verb of that passage. We'll be here till whenever, that's for sure. I got to tell you right off the bat, I stopped watching the news. I've stopped watching the news, and this is the benefit. I mean, I was thinking about Bob Shervish, if Bob is on Zoom today. I was thinking about Bob Shervish because his email is back to Mayberry. I think that's what it is. And so I've been watching a lot of... I've been watching a lot of Andy Griffin with Don Knox, and we've been watching it from the beginning all the way through, and every episode, And I think my wife wants to hurt herself. No, I'm only kidding. We really enjoy it. We really enjoy it. Yeah, we're not doing repeats. Okay, so I don't watch the news because it is distressing. I mean, it distresses me big time. I have news apps I try to avoid, and one of the things that I really try to avoid is even looking at those apps at night. I mean, it really do distress me. I find myself getting so upset, and like something I can do about it, right? I can do something about this. I can't. I can't do a thing about it. So when they say ignorance is bliss, that's true for me. You know, that's true for me. I mean, yeah, I could. And so I really think that we have to address this. We have to address this. Thus, Psalm 37. And in this passage, for those who are into homiletical devices, namely keywords, we could have used a number of keywords. But I used steps because the title of our little discussion is How to Survive in a Dangerous World. How to Survive in a Dangerous World. And the passage I'd like us to look at is Psalm 37, and my brother Bry, he did the job, appreciated very much. 40 verses, that's a chunk, right? And we're not going to exegete every verb on this, that's for sure. I could have used another key word because David shows us four steps on how to survive in this dangerous world. Four steps. I could have used other key imperatives. Could have used that one. There's a number of them that I could have gone, but I've chosen steps on this, because how do you survive in this world? How does a person survive in this world? And what are these steps? Well, David shows us, and we're going to go all over the place, okay? So we are. We're going all over the place in this psalm. He shows us a step of survival. Realize from the Lord. David shows us the step of survival. Rely on the Lord. And then he shows us a step of survival, rest in the Lord. And then David shows us a step of survival, rejoice in the Lord. Okay, so let's look at this. Realize from the Lord. And what should we realize? Right off the bat, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. We need to realize and fret not. Fret not. And it's an interesting thing because one particular translation that I looked at, it said this, do not inflame yourself with evildoers. That's twice. That is twice it's used in this particular, we see that in verse 8, fret not thyself in any way to do evil. Do not inflame yourself. Now, if you're like me in this situation, If you're like me, I have a very bad temper. I really have trust me, I have a bad temper. And you know, you think because you get saved, it's all gone. No, it doesn't happen that way. It doesn't happen. You've got to push it back. You got to, you know, it's not eradicated. And I've seen instances of where that was not eradicated and it came roaring back. Bad temper, you know, and so what I find myself is, I find myself being inflamed. I find myself being inflamed. I get so angry at the situations that I see, the evildoers that take place. I mean, the stuff that is taking place today, you can get so angry at it and lose your temper. You can. And he is telling us, do not be inflamed. Don't be inflamed. It's an interesting thing because this is a jussive. This word is a J-U-S-S-I-V-E. And Joseph, in Hebrew, that's a Hebrew thing, and it's really talking about a command. This is also a command, though it's not in the imperative mood. It's not in the imperative. It's not in the imperative. But the other ones that we're going to look at are. They're looking. He says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Look at verse 7b. 7b tells us this. He says, fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way. Don't be inflamed because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Don't be inflamed. I mean, this is in the singular, second person singular. That means for us who are taking that's the same in the Greek as the same in the Hebrew. Second person singular is you. He's saying you. That's what he is saying. He's saying you don't be inflamed. And every command that he's going to give, every imperative that we look at is in the second person singular. In other words, what he is saying to us is, you don't do this. You don't have this. You don't be inflamed. That's exactly what he is saying. And then notice verse 8c. He says, fret not thyself in any way to do evil. Don't fret yourself in any way to do evil. This is the old adage, you do not respond in like kind. That's a statement, people. Don't respond in like kind. Fret not, don't be inflamed by the evil that you see, and do not respond in this. Don't have a respond in this, and especially do not respond in an evil way. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. So those who wait for evildoers shall be cut off. Understand something here. God is going to have the last word. God is going to have the last word on this world system. We're very myopic, us Americans specifically. Because we look at the situations, we see the right before us, and we look at that situation, and we're like, whoa, man, this is, you know, we've got to act, etc. Okay, but God's going to have the last word on this. And he's telling us not to be inflamed by this. That's what he is telling us. Don't be inflamed by this. Don't inflame your passion, and then definitely don't act in evil. So we must realize this. We must realize who God is and what he is doing. And by the way, one of the things that is really important for us to do is to look at the big picture rather than the little picture or the immediate picture. We look at the big picture and we have the big picture in our hands. Evil is evil, and we're seeing it before us all the time. And it's like nobody's doing a thing about it. Why don't you do so? And then even some guys that are our heroes, we find that they're doing evil. They're doing wicked things too. And we're going, oh my word. Right? Don't let it inflame you. And then also don't envy it. And fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious, this is verse 1, against the workers of iniquity. Don't be envious of these guys. Don't be envious. Why? Because for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither like the green herb. Now, you take a green herb and it's very fragile. You only got so much shelf life on this thing, you know. You know, and even if you put it at, like in the flowers, you know, like in the flowers, just what the flowers, you know, the tulip, red tulip and daffodils, and, you know, you put them in a little water bottle, and you might be thinking, I want these to last forever, you know, I really like this to be. Oh, so I'll put an aspirin in there, and that'll cure the headache. That's what I heard, you know, you put some kind of, or you tear that little packet that comes with it, and you put it in there, and it's supposed to last a long time. Psh! Within the week, you're pitching those puppies. You know, and that's exactly how these guys will be. They will be cut down, snipped. They will be, they do not have a good future. They do not have a good future. And this is exactly what he's telling. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither like the green herb. That's exactly what is going to take place. But who's doing it? Who's going to do this? Who is going to do this? And look at verse 11. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plots against the just and gnashes upon them with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he saith that his day is coming. Oh, man. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, to slay such as are upright in their manner of life. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. This is what God is saying. He is asking us, what God is asking of you is to take him at his word. That's what faith is, isn't it? Taking God, simply put, faith is taking God at his word. Do you believe what God just said? Do you believe that that's going to take place? And the question is, we got to ask ourselves, do I really believe that, or am I going to fret myself? Am I going to be inflamed on this one? Because I'm not really trusting God on this. I really am not. I'm not taking him at his word, and I'm going to either try to figure this out and do something about it, maybe even to the issue of evil. Don't do that. Take him at his word. And be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. So this is where how do you live? How do you survive, number one, in a dangerous world? We're in it. How do you be happy and survive? Or survive and be happy in a dangerous world? Well, this is what we do. We've got to understand what God, we need to realize that from the Lord. So do we take the step of this survival? And that's to realize that God is in control. Okay, so not only does David give us the step of survival, realize from the Lord, but David shows us the step of survival, rely on the Lord. And we've got a number of verses here. Look at this. Rely by trusting in the Lord. Rely by trusting in the Lord. This is an interesting word. The word, okay, I'll just give you my little study here. Trust, delight, commit, rest, cease, depart, wait. They are all imperatives in the second person singular, which literally is saying this: you trust. If you're looking at a Greek paradigm, that is, you know, you look at the word I loose. Okay, so I'm taking Greek. I might as well use it, you know. And so you have I loose, and the second person is you loose. Third person, he, she, it looses. First person plural, we loose. And then second person plural, y'all loose. It's a Southern Baptist, right? And then the last one is they loose. Well, the second person singular is you loose. And every one of these, in the Hebrew and in the Greek, it's the same. So I actually talked to a guy who knows what he's talking about when it came to this. You know, I texted my son. I said, is this what it is? Every one of these are in the imperative, and they're second person singular. In other words, you must do this. It's not optional. So when he is telling us to do this, he is saying to us, and notice what he is, we need to rely on the Lord. Trust in the Lord. And this means to have full confidence. Full confidence. That's what it literally means, to have full confidence in the Lord. The question we have to ask, and notice what he says in the rest of that, and do good. In other words, don't do evil. Don't go, you know, and try to take things into your own hands. You do good. You trust in the Lord, you do good. And so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. What is God saying? I'm going to take care of you. Just trust me. I'll take care of this. You just trust me. Just trust me. Look to me. You know, you parents, you know. Your kid's upset. And what do? Look at me. Look at me. Park your eyes right here. Come on, look at me. This is what God is saying to us. He said, have full confidence in me. You, trust me. It is an imperative mood. That is, you must trust me. You must trust me. Wow. That's exactly what we should do. It's not like, oh, trust in the Lord. It's really, oh, that's a great saying. No, 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 no. It's a survival saying. We survive this world when we take God at His word. We survive this world when we take God at His word. And so He says to us, you know, trust in the Lord and do good, and thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Notice verse 27. It says, depart from evil and do good and dwell evermore. For the Lord loveth justice and forsake not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. Do you know that God has you? We look at this in terms of eternal security in John chapter 10. We look at how God keeps us. I give unto you eternal life and no man is able, right? And we look at that passage and we say, God holds you in His hands. Do you believe that? I mean, do you honestly believe that God has His hands around you? In fact, He says in that same passage in John, and says, no man is able to pluck Him out of my Father's hand. I am my Father. We are one. Nobody can loosen that grip. Nobody. So we might as well, that's the fact, we might as well believe that. We might as well believe that. Does God care about you? Chi-Chi, does God care about your dad? Absolutely. Does He care about you? I think Chi-Chi is like a courageous woman. You know, first of all, marrying Nathan. And then secondly, coming from her homeland in Zambia and being here. You think that's easy? That's not easy at all. Very courageous. But God has her life. God has her life. God has your life. God has your life. How about you? You got it. Actually, He's got you. You know? Yeah, and so that He's got you. And so this is the beauty. Rely by trusting. And then notice verse 4. Rely, right? By delighting. Delighting. This means to be happy about, to take exquisite delight. That's the Hebrew rendering of that. To take exquisite delight in this. I mean, when you say exquisite delight, I mean, that like puts it in a different, you know, you're going, ha ha, oh, that was great, you know. No, no, when you're looking at exquisite stuff, when you're looking at something that's exquisite, you're going, oh, you're so enamored with it. You're so like, wow. You can always tell when somebody, a young lady gets engaged, you know, and They brand new, and they get engaged, and they, you know, they put the hand out, and they go, oh, and then go, and somebody might even say, you know, might even say, oh, how exquisite is that? That is, I mean, and maybe really mean it, you know, and maybe really even mean it, and they go, wow, I mean, like it's a big rock, it's the Hope Diamond on your finger. You know, it's like, you know, like, whoa, that is really amazing. I hope you got bodyguards and insurance, you know, because this thing is exquisite. We look at this and we go, wow, that is amazing. This is what he means by delight. This is what he means when he talks about delight yourself also in the Lord. So, you know, to me, when I look at that word, delight yourself in the Lord, I think that you have to be focused on the Lord. That's a focus. And of course, Isaiah 4, 26, one of my favorite verses, Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. What is it now? I just went blank. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because in the Lord God Jehovah is everlasting strength. A lot of things that get our attention off of him. Lots of stuff, especially the news. Especially when we see evil. We get enraged. We get upset. And we get off of him. We do. He's telling us, you must delight in the Lord. You must. You, not somebody else. You. Delight yourself. Be happy about. Take exquisite delight. And then take great comfort in. That's what it also means. Take great comfort in. That's that pie in the sky. My dad used to tell me that. That Christianity stuff's pie in the sky, you know. And by, you know. That's that pie in the sky stuff. You're talking... And this is his favorite word to me before he got saved. You're talking to me about platitudes. I thought that was like a duck or something, you know. I'm platted. Oh, that's a platypus, right? And my platitudes got the platypus on my face. And I look at this and I say to myself, this is taking great delight. This is no platitude. This is not high. No, you're delighting in him. You're delighting in him. And this is a command of you. This is a command to me. I must do this. I must do this. Delight yourself also in the Lord. And then notice verse 5 and 6. He says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Commit thy way. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy justice as a noonday. Just to remind you, this is in the imperative mood. That means that you must do this. Second person singular. You must do this. And it literally means this, commit. It literally means to roll off onto. To roll off onto. You ever see somebody carrying something that's just like beyond them? You know, they're a little help here, a little help. You can't even move, right? And here comes, oh, I'm okay, I'll help you. And the guy just gives it to you, you know. The other person just walks away. That's exactly how it should be with us and God. So what is the thing that gets you? What is the thing that's too heavy to bear? What is that thing that is so heavy to bear? You know what it is. I might not know what it is, but it just weighs on you. It just weighs on you. What is that? Roll it onto him. He is asking you to do this. This is a must. It's in the imperative, and it's commanding you to do this. So, question. I mean, you know, we come here and we talk and we have sermons and all that kind of stuff. But if it doesn't do anything for our lives, what's the point? What I mean by that, if we're not going to interact with what God is saying to us, are we disobedient? Because he's asking you to do this. He's asking me, I must do this. So what is the thing that got you? Roll it on him. It's way too heavy for you. It's way too heavy for you. Notice what he said he will do. Commit thy way, roll it upon the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy justice as the noonday. He will do this. Some of you, I got to tell you, some of you feel that you're lousy Christians. Some of you feel that way. Some of you feel like, man, I'm really bad news. And I, in one sense, you know, you'd say, well, you know, but understand something. Your predicament as a Christian right now is way better than the guy like a Bill Gates who doesn't know the Lord. I don't know if he knows the Lord or not. I don't know that. But I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather have Jesus than anything else in this world could afford. So says Bev Shea, right? And I'd rather have him and be in my predicament than the guy that's got all the money in the world and doesn't have any hope. Has zero hope. So why? What's the difference? The difference is the Lord. So lean on him. Commit it to him. Let him have full control. And then he tells us, you know, we commit it to him. And so we not only rely on the Lord, you know, and the question is, are you doing this? Are you relying on the Lord? Have you rolled it upon him? Have you done this? And if you haven't done this, you can be honest with yourself and with the Lord, frankly. Because you're not impressing him. You don't have to impress anybody except him. He already knows about it. So lean on him. Lean on him. Roll it on him. Trust, delight, commit. And then we see not only does David show us the steps of survival, realize from the Lord and rely on the Lord, but David shows us the step of survival. Rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Look at verse 7a. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Rest in the Lord. You know what this means? This is going to seem kind of simplistic. This is also in the same imperative movement, in second person singular. He is telling you, you must rest in me. What does it mean? I got a granddaughter. She is perpetual motion. She is perpetual motion. A little Gracie, you all know this to be a fact. You've seen her in Awana. She's like, you know, and she's so cute. She's just so cute. And then I see her go to her daddy, my son. And I see her go to her dad, and then she just, and she goes right on his head, on her head on his shoulder, and she's like almost conked out. It's all or nothing with Gracie, you know. And she is just, you know, what rest means literally means stop motion. Stop motion. Be motionless. Stand still. Stand still. Keep your finger here and look at Joshua chapter 10. Joshua chapter 10. Is that? Yeah, there you go. Joshua chapter 10. That's in the Old Testament, I think. Joshua chapter 10. And I'd like us to look at verse 12. Joshua chapter 10, verse 12. Then spoke Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. And is not this written in the book of Jasher? So that the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hastened not to go down about the whole day. By the way, same word. Rest. Stop. Stop. Rest. Be motionless on this. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. So what we want to do is we want to rest. We want to rest. Look at, going back to Psalm 37, look at 9. But those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. You know, Barb and I graduated from the Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. And one of the things that you can do while walking out from the Institute is to look at Chicago. And they have some real history there. And then the steps of the Catholic Cathedral, which is near Moody, a big Catholic cathedral right there on this, on those steps, you can look, and when I was there, and we graduated in 80, so I don't know if they fixed them or whatever, but probably not. They have bullet holes in the steps. In the steps, bullet holes from Al Capone. On the steps they just mowed guys down on the steps of that. And you can go put your finger in the hole. Holes, you know, and we look at this and we say to ourselves, you know, the evildoers shall be cut off. But they that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. You look at this and you look and you consider their place. You consider those individuals that went through there and you think to yourself, what would that have been like with, you know, some big Ford coming through with about six guys with Thompson guns? And we look and we consider that. We don't envy it, but we consider it because those guys are all gone. Not only the guys that were massacred that day on those steps, but also the guys that did the massacring. We consider that and we look at that and we say, how wicked is this? How bad is this? And we take notes on this because it would have been better to trust God. It would have been better for them to know God and to trust Him. Consider their place. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plots against the just and gnash upon them with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow and cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as upright in their heart. The sword shall enter into their own hearts. Their bows shall be broken. We look at this, we consider their place, we look at what's going to take place, we rest. Verse 34. Wait on the Lord, keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land when the wicked are cut off. You shall see it. You shall see it. Is God telling us what's going on? They're going to get it. They're going to get it. And it's perfect justice because God knows it perfectly. But he's going to let his righteous see it. This is the thing that is so scary for people who are boasters, not about the Lord, but in their own strength. And it's an awful, awful thing. So we rest by waiting. We rest by ceasing. We cease. You know, look, notice verse 8. Cease from anger. Cease from anger. Cease. You ever hear that word cease and desist? Yeah, that's exactly what it means. Desist. It desist. You stop it. Cease and desist. Cease and desist. Stop it! Stop it! Okay, this is really a crummy illustration. Okay.
You want my
address? Yeah, I do, actually. But this, cease and desist. You stop. You relax your hold on it. That's exactly what it is. What is the thing that in your life that you have such a tight grip on? What is the thing in your life that you have such a tight grip on and you feel that if I relax it, if I let go, if I don't, something will you know, I'll go haywire. I won't be able to do it. What is that thing? He's telling us to relax your hold on it. You must relax your hold on it. Whatever that is, I'm not the Spirit of God. I took the wings off a long time ago. Okay? So I can't tell you what is going on in your mind and in your heart. But what is that thing? We are to cease. We are to cease from that. And so cease from anger. Oh man, we get so angry sometimes. And then rest by forsaking. We forsake these things. Look at 8b, fret not thyself. And it says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Run from it. Run from it. You start boiling up. You start getting upset. I'm walking away from it. I'm forsaking it. I'm forsaking it. Had to do that a few times playing basketball. You know, didn't want to. Wanted to tangle. Wanted to do it. Wanted to do it. Let's go. Let's go to blows. I don't care. Let's do it right now. You know, no. Cease. Relax your hold on it and forsake it. Forsake it. Then he tells us, not only does David show us the step of survival and realize from the Lord, rely on the Lord and rest in the Lord, but now he tells us to rejoice in the Lord. He's saying, what is there to be rejoiceful about? What can we rejoice? And this, you know, we look at this, rejoice in the Lord. We look at this and we look at his provision for us. Notice verse 16, the little that the righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. The little that the righteous man hath. For the arms of the Lord, or the arms of the wicked shall be broken. You can't grab stuff when your arms are broken. When your arms are broken, you can't hang on. You know, your arms are busted. The wicked think they got control. They don't. Their arms are going to be broken. Their arms are going to be broken. And then we notice this. The little that the righteous man has. But the Lord upholds the righteous. Verse 17b. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. Does that sound like Peter? It sounds exactly just like Peter, that we have an inheritance from him. I want us to go, and notice verse 23. Notice verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young. One of my absolute favorite verses. I have been young, and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Hey, by the way, how did those guys live under Roman rule? How do those Christians live under communist rule in China? How do they do it? Where do you think the toughest, in New York City, and you probably know this already, but where do you think the toughest place to preach in New York City is? Wall Street. Absolutely. Wall Street. Harlem? Oh, man. We've had some dangerous times in Harlem, no questions about it, but guys are coming out to us, thanking us, appreciative. They didn't get that in Wall Street because their focus is on themselves. Their focus is on their own abilities. God provides for us. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, verse 30, and his tongue talketh of justice. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. Oh, man, this is fantastic. And he makes these pronouncements too. But one of the things that he is telling us in verse 27, here's another imperative: depart from evil. You depart from evil. And then verse 34, wait on the Lord. Wait. And that word wait is to wait for, the implication of tenseness. With the implication of tenseness or eagerness, you know. Do you ever do that, you know? Do you ever have that? You know somebody's coming, you can't wait to see him. Oh, man. I do this with my grandkids. Oh, yeah. Open the garage. Can't wait to see him. You know, with eagerness, with intenseness, with a seeming tenseness. This is how we're to wait on the Lord. This is how we're to look to him with an eagerness, with a certain amount of tenseness. Yes, I can't wait to seek your face. The Lord said, seek ye my face. Thy face, Lord, do I seek. Psalm 27:8. This is where we want to go. This is what we want to do. Wait on the Lord. And then he tells us to mark the perfect man. Look at verse 37. Mark that perfect man means to watch guard. I don't know who's back there. Larry? Yeah, Larry's back there. He's watching. He's marking. It's to watch, to keep guard, to observe, to take heed, to watch guard. That's exactly what it is, a watch guard, like a watch dog, you know, constantly watching. Mark that perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. The end of that man is peace. But the transgressor shall be destroyed together. And the end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. And by the way, he's not only in time of trouble, he's your strength always. Always. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Now, we need to realize from the Lord. We need to rely on the Lord. We need to rest in the Lord. And we can rejoice in the Lord. We need to take these four steps and how to live in this dangerous world. We need to take these four steps that David shows us and how to survive. Because I guarantee this, you are thinking to yourself, I'm 99.9999 that this world disturbs you. That this world disturbs you. We need to lean on him. We need to do this. What do you say? You must do this. That's exactly what he is telling us to do. You must. You, personally. Can't walk out of here without integrating with this. You can't. It's his word. Let's ask God to help us. Father, I just pray right now that you would just really bless this. Help us as we look at the challenges of the world and the challenges that they pose to us, and help us look at you, the one who meets those challenges. We look at our lack of strength and we look to you, the one who gives us strength. We look at our lack of our wisdom and we get distraught, but we look to you, the one who gives us wisdom. We ask you, Lord, that we might rest in you, that we would look to you, that we would do these things. You are commanding us to do this. And we ask you to help us to obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks.